The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. G'day, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro, columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. We're off to sunny Brazil today with Alvo Minerals. The ASX code is ALV, trading at around 15 cents for a market cap adjusted for a recent placement, which we'll be discussing, is around $18 million. Now, we have with us today Rob Smackman, the MD of the company, and as far as I know, the only blonde-haired CEO of a mining company in Australia. Now, Rob's at home today, and he's ready to bring us up to speed with some major developments at the company, and I think it's worthwhile remembering all the way through this that the market cap currently is $18 million. So, g'day, Rob. Welcome to the podcast.
G'day, Barry. How are you? I'm very happy to be here.
Rob, a $4.2 million placement, which sees the emergence of a private equity group, a Brazilian private equity group, emerging with a 19.9% ownership. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's a bit of a unicorn raise in this market, Barry. we managed to find an investor who was as enthusiastic about the projects as we are. The group's called Aura Investments. They're a private equity group, relatively small on the global scale, but are raising money for a second fund in Brazil of $150 million. So they have got some pretty significant backers in country. They're really interested in the exploration side of Brazilian projects. So, very happy to have them come on board. They've done quite extensive due diligence on the project and on the company. It's taken us close to 6 weeks to get them across the line. And during that period, they've been nothing but professional and I'm really excited to have them as a partner in country.
Okay, so they've done their own DD and were happy to pay a premium, I see.
Yeah, and they had the right to appoint someone to the board. The idea that they could have such a large chunk of the company they're up to the 19.9% level, doesn't come cheap from where I'm from. Like I said, We've done our DD on them as well as them on us, and we see them as an incoming partner. We also see them as a group that's going to be able to follow their money and help us with the funding challenge going forward. So yeah, really pleased to have them on board. Getting them in at a premium is a real bonus for us as well, and hopefully for our shareholders. And I think once we see the fruits of where this money's going to go to in terms of the exploration side, I'm hoping that it'll be their best investment to date.
They have decades of experience in Brazil, do they?
Yeah, so they're all Brazilians that are running the PE fund, and so they've got varying backgrounds. Some are technical, some are legal, some are accounting. But their office is in the mining capital of Brazil called Belo Horizonte. They've all been working in and around the industry during that period, for the last 20 years.
And feedback from your other shareholders?
Yeah, so far really positive. I think if you're a shareholder of an exploration junior in Australia or anywhere around the world, you know, capital raisings are a bit of a dirty word, to be honest, but they are a necessary evil. And all companies have to go through that process of finding fresh equity to keep exploring. We are very, very happy to have been able to do that at a premium, but also unbrokered. So there hasn't been any fees associated with this capital raising, which means just more holes that I can drill in the pursuit of critical minerals in Brazil.
For sure. I should probably mention too that at the time, it was a 17% premium at the time. The shares were issued at 17.5 cents. But more interesting, I guess, was that it was a 25% premium to the 30-day average of 14 cents. So, yeah, you haven't let the shares go cheaply, has it?
Yeah, and look, you know, obviously this was a bit of a moving feast as the due diligence progressed. We were watching the share price carefully because, you know, any big changes would affect the valuation significantly, as in all juniors. But we're quite a thinly traded stock. I think if you look at our top 20, there must be close to 70% in the top 20, and most of those are professional resources investors who are in the company for the long term, which means there's not a lot of liquidity out there for us. We do need that liquidity to come in to give us a bit of a run. And, you know, the positive thing about low liquidity is that, you know, when you do get a keen buyer in the market, the price inevitably has a run. So let's hope we can encourage some people to come on the bid and on the back of some interesting news flow over the next couple of months.
Company is well known, obviously, for its sort of central Brazilian projects, notably the Palma Copper Zinc project and the Blue Bush ionic clay discovery. And you've added another one, I see, in Goiás State, about 600 kilometres away, called Ipora. Let's just backtrack for a sec there, because I get a sense, and I think it might have something to do with copper being up 12% on its average price of last year, zinc being up 5% on its average price last year, and silver being up 22% on its average price of last year. I've just got a sense in recent soundings from the company that Palma, which might have been pushed into the background a bit by the Bluebush discovery, is now front and centre again.
Yeah, look, there's both assets are really important to us, and you know, you're right. Mid last year, when we added Bluebush to the company and commenced our due diligence period, we were really focused on doing proper DD on the ground, and that included drilling, assaying, and metallurgical test work to prove that Bluebush had the potential to be a significant deposit of rare earths and ionic clay rare earths, more specifically, in Brazil. That work's been done, and we've continued working on Bluebush, and we're still very committed to the rare earths side of things by adding the new Ipará project in December, which we've actually got people on site at the moment doing a bit of preliminary mapping and a few samples across the areas just to see what we potentially could have there. But you know, the base metals has always been in the company. We've advanced it quite significantly over the last 18 months in terms of the exploration side of things. And even last year when we were talking a lot more about the rare earths, we were still working really hard on the copper zinc side of things at Palma. And, you know, a lot of that work was kind of a little bit under the radar in the sense that it's, you know, the background work that you have to do, the soil sampling, the geological mapping. You know, we have a full suite of electromagnetic and IP equipment in country that we've been using full on over our 850 square kilometre tenure package. So we've got a big package of ground for the copper zinc, and all that work, which is a little bit unsexy, so to speak, was still being done at the end of last year. And now, when those results have sort of come through, and each layer adds incrementally to each other, what we've got is a bunch of targets that we are really excited about putting some drilling into. So I plan to share that with the market in the next couple of weeks as we finalise our drilling plans. And I think by virtue of the fact that the diamond drilling that we'll be doing on the Palma project is more expensive than the exploration at Bluebush, we'll be doing a fair more, you know, we'll be talking probably a bit more about the Palma project than Bluebush. But no, make no mistake, we're committed to critical minerals in Brazil. Our projects are close by each other, and so we've constantly got people on the ground and mapping and doing all that stuff that has to be done to keep it moving forward, keep both projects moving forward.
And perhaps wrap up on Palma. There is an inferred resource there, 4.8 million tonnes, 1% copper, 3.9% zinc, and some lead, and a handy amount of silver, 40 grams a tonne silver. But I think you've flagged that there's resource updates, upgrades in the pipeline.
Updates and upgrades coming. That's true. We've done a fair bit of drilling since we listed. We started drilling the day or two after we listed back in the day. Was it 22? Drilled close to 23,000 meters of diamond at principally at C1 and C3. So that's they're the two deposits that have the inferred resource on there currently. They will be updated in the next 2 months. Once that information comes out, it'll actually be in conjunction with the discovery that we made sort of in August last year, which is called C4. We drilled maybe 5,000 meters into C4 towards the back end of last year. So we've got some results to come out for that. And I'm pretty confident that we're going to be able to include C4 in our resource update. Obviously, that one will be a maiden resource, but it'll be a resource that, it'll be an update that will include an extra deposit in there. So, quite a significant milestone for the company going forward. And I think that'll be able to, well, hopefully it will be an upgrade, and it will push us towards our sort of target of 10 million tonnes is what we're aiming for to a project that we could look to putting into development.
C4, that was the one that was 37 metres at 1.9% copper.
That's correct, yeah.
And your widest intercept ever in that part of the world.
It was really thick, and what we've seen since then is that it's a flat-lying ore body as opposed to C1 and C3, which one is folded and one's sort of subvertical. So a different orientation. It's quite close to the C1 out deposit, but C4 is sort of flat-lying, undulating. It seems to be richer in zinc than copper, and some more results coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's 5 kilometres southwest of the C1 deposits. Just explain to investors again, it's a VMS style, and what is the nature of VMS deposits in terms of having these clusters of deposits?
Yeah, so VMS stands for volcanogenic massive sulfides, and what that means is the mineralization is hosted in sulfides, which are the sort of metallic style of minerals, and that's significant because when you're drilling them, the word massive means that there's a lot of them accumulated, and so when you see the drilling come out of the hole, it's quite spectacular. You've got the zinc sulfide, the copper sulfides. You've also got some barren sulfides that are associated with that mineralization. But in general, we're not looking for the barren ones. We're looking for the ones that have got the good stuff in them. And what happens is these are formed basically on the seafloor over what we kind of call a hotspot. So if you think about, an erupting underwater volcano spewing out this mix of different gases different metals, as the tectonic plates move across the top of these spots, they have a series or a cluster of deposits that form in the same geological setting. I mean, that's the kind of broad based brush, and what we see around the world, especially in Canada and places like Japan, and even Australia has got a number of these deposits. That these VMS districts can have tens, if not hundreds of millions of tonnes of valuable deposits all clustering in the same sort of group. And I think one of the real key things for Alvo is that we have a whole district under tenure. Pretty much we've got 90% of the district under tenure, and it hasn't been explored for 40 years apart from the two or three deposits that have been drilled by the Geological Survey back in the day. So, there's a real sense of excitement now that we're going to drill some of these new prospects that could be new deposits, because the ones that were discovered in the past were the ones that were sticking out of the ground by the Geological Survey. The nature of, these are reasonably old in terms of VMS. And what that means is that, recent surface works or recent surface situations has covered covered some of the deposits, and by using cutting edge technology like the geophysics, and we've got an auger rig that runs around and takes samples below the surface, will give us a much better targeting mechanism to find these new deposits. And, you know, it only takes one drill hole to make a new discovery and can add significant, you know, value to the company and straight up.
So very much an unfolding story there. And as I said at the start, just keep remembering the market cap here is 18 million. So let's assume that the market cap is covered by the Palmer existing resource and the upside there. But pretty much next door, you have the Blue Bush Ionic Clay Rare Earths Project. What's the latest from there?
Yeah, so we spent the end of 23 just proving the fact that, it had scale, it had grade, and that it was ionic clay. They were the three things that we were really looking for when we were turning that, checking our due diligence on that project. So now that our focus has turned to working out how much we've got in terms of a resource. So work's underway to we'll do some of the early stage exploration. So we've been mapping, we've been doing soil sampling and some geophysics across the project to get a better handle on, to make sure that the area that we discovered, which is called Boa Vista, is the best area. And we've been doing some auger drilling, and we'll be now stepping that up over the next couple of weeks to start estimating a resource. So more auger drilling from Boa Vista to come, and hopefully we'll be expanding it and putting out a resource on that in the next few months as well.
Now, one I've been itching to discuss, even though I didn't pronounce it properly at the start, IPRA.
IPRA.
It's alkaline intrusive complex. You've got an interesting neighbour pulling some unbelievable assay results. Tell us what the story at IPRA is.
Yeah, so I think you know, the Australian market has seen some really spectacular results with some of our peers, you know, with Meteoric and Viridis and BRE, Brazilian Rare Earths. But I think the market really has gone to sleep a little bit on the Canadian groups that are out and exploring in Brazil. And one of those groups is called APIA. Quite a long name, but APIA anyway. They have a project called PCH, where they drilled some spectacular holes and have just put out a resource, actually, just recently, about 50 million tonnes at, I think it's 0.25%. But some of their drilling was well north of 5% TREO, rare earths. And we could see some ground available nearby and literally went and pegged the ground around them. We've waited for some of that ground granted by the government. And some of that has been already, and we've got people on the ground at the moment running around and doing a bit of mapping and a bit of sampling, and we'll see if we can put anything together.
Yeah, okay. The IPRA, the resource at Canada's APIA resource, rare earths and uranium, I think they're called.
Yeah.
Has put out, you quoted it in percentage there. Is that 2,500 ppm?
That's correct. Yeah, right. Yeah, 0.25%. Yeah.
So in terms of ionic clay deposit, that's right up there.
That's right up there, correct, with some of the other good grades that we've seen around the world. At Blue Bush, we've got grades around the 1,000 to 1,500 ppm mark. So, you know, they are lower than the Australian peers, but they're also on the same structure as the only existing IAC mine in the world, which is Cerro Verde. And they're mining quite successfully at the moment at those grades. So, you know, the head grade for these rare earths is one thing. What's recoverable and what are the actual rare earths that you pull out is equally as important as the actual grades. And yeah, we're pretty comfortable with both our projects. You know, IPRA is a very early stage, and I've been on the ground there once, and I'm quite keen to get back there. My next trip is in a few weeks, and I'll be touching down in IPRA as well, and we'll see if we can, you know, find something that approaches some of these amazing grades that up here have been getting.
I guess all this is one of the benefits. Alvo is quite a recent listing, but your experience in Brazil is, more than 10 years, dating back to projects in other ASX companies.
Yeah, I think the first time I went to Brazil was actually 2004, and I moved there with my family in 2006. So had 10 years with my family there growing up, and only moved back to Brazil, back to Australia permanently in 2017. But I haven't stopped going. Even through COVID, when we were doing laying the groundwork for Alvo, you know, I was on the ground and on site and getting ready to list. So, yeah, a long history, approaching 20 years now in Brazil, and I'm really comfortable operating there, and I love the country. I see it as being, you know, full of opportunities, and it's just a fabulous place to operate.
All right, so that's the third steak knife in the $18 million market cap story here, IPRA. Now, Rob, let's just bring it all together and give investors a feel for what are going to be some of the upcoming news flow from the company.
Yeah, so on the Palmer side, we'll have news about C4 with drilling, and then we'll have a resource update for C1, C3, and then a maiden resource for C4 coming out in a couple of months. But before that actually kicks off, before that resource comes out, we'll be drilling on some of these new prospects that I'm pretty excited to show the market. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll show that, and we'll be drilling out there hopefully in early May. So that's the Palmer side. And then on the rare earth side, we've got some results due on the diamond drilling. We've got some results due on auger drilling, soils and mapping. That's a blue bush. And initiation of exploration at IPRA is also coming out. So there's plenty on both projects to come out. Pretty excited about, you know, now that I'm funded with my new partners in Brazil, who are already giving me access to new consultants and introducing me to sort of new capital markets in Brazil, I think we're gonna have a very good year.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Rob, a very interesting story. Thanks for your time today. We'll be watching with interest. Good luck with it all.
Thanks, Barry, and it's always a pleasure to come and talk on Getting Better.
Cheers, mate.